glad to be here together. You know, I was just thinking people don't really know the age we're living. You talk about people being blind, miserable, naked, and don't even know it. How could a person in this time not know the condition that we're living and where we live? But God had given us the word of the evening time, and we will only accept it and receive it.
Amen.
And be sincere about what we hear, when we hear, and walk in it, and hold fast to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 90. We just read the entire chapter of Psalm 90. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come together again, Lord, to worship around your holy word, Father, let us grow closer and closer each day. Lord, let us understand and love one another in all things that we do. Father, let us pray continually one for another. Lord Jesus, if we see our brother, our sister, in a way, Lord, that they shouldn't be, let us pray, God, and uplift them. Father, for we know that without them, Lord, we will not be complete. Jesus, and we love you, and we thank you. And we ask you to bless Brother Wade this morning. Touch him in a special way, Father, and give him the word that we all need to hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Thou turnest man to destruction and said, return ye children of men.
For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night.
Thou carest them away as with a flood. They are as a sheep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up.
In the morning it flourishes and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withered.
For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled.
Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance.
For all our days are passed away. In the raft we spend our years as a tale that is told.
There is no more years on threescore years and ten, and if our reason is strength, it may be fourscore years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath.
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent concerning thy servants.
O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil.
Let thy work be near unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children.
Let the beauty of thy law, our God, be upon us, and consider the works of our hands. Upon us, yea, the works of our hands establish thou it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Brother Michael, would you come and lift the offering this morning for us? Faith family with us this morning. Let's sing this chorus, "I'll Enter Into His Gates," and he is seen. We're going to ask them to prepare for our special this morning while we sing this song. Oh, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me more glad this morning. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, oh, are you glad this morning? Oh, he has made me glad.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So happy to be back here. Pray that this song will bless your hearts this morning.
Give me your hand. Let's agree together that all of our enemies will crumble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song before our brother comes this morning, The Winds of Faith in the Key of D. Amen. We want to set our wings on the winds of faith, His faith that He gives us. Hallelujah. We'll start with the chorus.
Set your wings to the winds of faith.
Sky. sing it to him one more time.
To the winds of faith.
All right, Eagles, set your wings.
Set your wings.
Steel, armor, titanium. They want to build these bunkers so far in the ground that, that you know, they can survive the what's coming.
Amen.
We just get behind feathers.
Amen.
We just get behind feathers.
Amen.
As the eagle hovers over, I was... there was someone telling a story. It was about a... they were having fires out in Arizona and different places this past summer or this summer. And they were walking through and checking out the place after it burned. And there was just nothing but devastation. There was just ashes everywhere and, you know, trees standing up and burnt half off and all that stuff. And this park ranger said he happened, said something caught his eye, and said he turned and looked. And he said it looked like it was a dead bird. So he looked at it again. He thought, well, I'm just going to, you know, see if everything's, you know, make sure the bird's dead, because it was just burnt to a crisp. So he took a stick. He flipped the bird over. There were six little babies underneath her wings that had survived that fire. Just because Mama spread her wings and we got underneath those wings. And the fires of the devil can't bother us. Oh, we think maybe they can, but I don't think they're going to bother us. We've made it through the fiery trials, tribulations, just by a set of feathers. So trust in God. Don't trust in this world. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have the Reeds with us. Monique, Danielle, and Sister Francine. They, like I said, like T said, they have all grown up. Well, maybe Sister Reed hasn't changed much. Whew. They're staying with us, you know. But the girls have, so we thank the Lord that they're able to get out of Canada, that place where they had them all locked up, you know. Now they're down here with us for a week, so we welcome them. They're just family, so good to have them with us. I'll remember Brother Luis. He's at Brother Samuel's over in Beaufort, South Carolina. Brother Luis had a service there, and he was interpreting yesterday at the minister's meeting, and then he's preaching for him today, so just keep him in your prayer. Like Brother Joe said last night, prayer service was wonderful. Thank you all for coming. If you didn't come, I wish you would just take that time and pray in your own prayer closet, maybe at 7 o'clock that night. I told Brother Joe, I said, I hadn't slept as good in 2 weeks. You get them demons pushed. They're going to still be there. But Brother John, you just put a little bit of power, a little bit of that power of prayer in there, and it just kind of pushes back. And you're able to get a good night's rest. Maybe you ought to try that sometime. Amen? Right. Amen? Right. Remember, after the second service, we have some kind of a shower, wedding, something for two people, that whoever them people are. I don't know what their name is. Lily and Zach, after the second service, so remember that. Next Wednesday, Brother Bob will be speaking for us. Remember, this coming weekend, Saturday at 3 o'clock will be the youth service. Brother Ronnie Long will be with us. Starts at 3 o'clock. We need some help to get some food prepared, so we'll be discussing that today. And then on Sunday, he'll be speaking, and there'll only be one service. All right, on one service next Sunday. All right. Also, remember, sit in your seats. There is a copy of this. Lily and Zach needs you to RSVP if you're coming. No children under 15 years old because the venue is so small. It's not so small, but it's small. But make sure you RSVP in this little theknot.com/Lily and Zach are getting married. Oh, they're getting hitched. Getting hitched. Wow. Okay. So just follow those directions and tell them that you're coming. So it'll be in Cumming, Georgia. That'll be on November the 6th on Sunday. We'll only have one service, and then we'll all continue over there and have another service at 4 o'clock. Amen. Well, good to have Sister Lily with us. And just she's been a part of us. Now she's really going to be a part of us. So we welcome her with open arms, and we appreciate her. Amen. All right, let's go to John 1, but let me read this. I caught this yesterday in the masterpiece. I want to read it to you. It said, notice the great masterpiece of the family. The husband and wife cannot be truly a family unless they are one. They have to be. If they're not, they're not a good family. Wife pulling one way, the husband pulling another. That's pretty good. I wasn't going to read that, but it sounds pretty good. I think I'll read it again. They have to be. If they're not, they're not a good family. Wife pulling one way and the husband another. That would make an awful family. But in agreement with love one to the other, that's a family. And now that was God's masterpiece. And now all the true family here portrays that true family of God. Now the masterpiece family has come again. Christ and his bride ready to come. The second Adam, second Eve, ready now to return back to their home. And the whole picture has been redemption. From where it was, bringing it back. See, just exactly bringing it back again. Amen. 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 Bringing it back again. Christ and his bride right here at the earth. Not in heaven. They're going to start here on the earth. Amen. Brother Aaron, how are you doing? He's good. All right, what did they find out? You didn't have a heart? Okay, you do have a heart. Okay, and it's thumping good. Oh, German chocolate cake will do that to you. Little Debbie is not a good friend. Okay, she's not a good girl. No, she'll make you fat and make your blood sugar go up. All right, well, we need to watch that. Stair, did you go too, or were you just there with him? Your blood sugar go up too? You were there with him? Okay, all right. That's good. All right. And good to have, I can't remember which one of Justina's kids that is, but which one are you?
Lucas.
Good to have Lucas with us. His mama works with us at the post office, and there's a bunch of them yanging, so I can't remember their name, all their names. So she was trying to multiply and replenish the earth all by herself. So, but that's Lucas with us. Good to have you with us. You've been here before, so you're not a visitor. So let's turn to John 1, verse 1. I know we all have requests. There's something this afternoon I'd like to read to you. I was, it's not something to read, it's a list. I was praying last night, and something impressed me to just go in the office. And, you know, sometimes we think that we say, well, we pray for our loved ones. And you know, I was looking, I've got a list here, I'm looking at it, and there's almost 60 names of just your family, your kids that don't come to church here. Your husbands, your wives, your families, your cousins, people that's been here before, Chris Hansen, different ones. Then I just started writing their names down. I started writing their names down last night. I just kept writing and kept writing, and you'll see I've got them on both sides. I just kept writing. Almost 60 people. We'd fill this church up if we could get them all to come back to church. That's been with us and they're not with us. They've disappeared. That's why I was asking about your kids' names. But I was just trying to recall everybody's name. And we ought to do that sometimes. You know, we say, well, let's pray for our loved ones. Do you really do that? Do you really pray for that wayward child that used to be here and now they've disappeared? Husband, wife, friend, family? Timothy? Myron? I just started writing them all down. Everyone, I started just to, it had to be the Lord. And I may have missed some myself, but we're going to read them this afternoon, if that's all right with everybody. We're going to read them over the pulpit, and then we're going to start praying for them. Yes, amen? Amen. I want to have to build another church. I do. If we get 60 of these back, we'll do something. Amen? But these are all just, this is not just your friends. This is Kendrick, Francis, just a set, Sterling, Jonathan Canada, Deborah, Ivan Moat, Gina Axenroth, Paul McFerrin, Gwen and Nate. That's why I couldn't remember them two last night. Just start naming people that you that are in your family that are not here. That we want them all saved, are we not?
Amen.
We want to go. We want to go up this statue of perfect man. Yes, but as going up this statue of perfect man, we want to bind our family together because it's a church family. It's your natural family, but it's a family that we're trying to build. As Brother Brown says, I'm trying not to build a church. I'm trying to build individuals.
Yes.
And we'll read that this afternoon. He's trying to build individuals. We're not trying to build a big church, but what would happen if all of our loved ones got filled with the Holy Ghost and started coming back to church? Amen. Have your kids stand right beside of you. Have your daughters standing right beside of you. Hannah, different ones. Jacob. Ashley. I just started naming them last night. Just kept writing them down, all one right after the other, that we had seen in this church, and now they're not far, but they're away. They're within God's reach, I promise you that. Amen? So let's don't give up on them, and I'll read them this afternoon. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening, this afternoon that you give us. Lord, this day, yet set aside to worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in this service. You be the active participant, Lord. You be the one that does the speaking. Also, Lord, be the one that does the revealing, because without you, Lord, we are nothing. Father, be with the ones that are sick, that are not here today, the ones that are watching in, Lord. We pray that you'd be with them, Father. Be with the ones that are on the highways. Brother Luis and Sister Christine will obviously be coming back tomorrow or today, this afternoon. We pray that you'd be with them, Father. Thank you for sending the Reeds down to visit with us some, Lord. And may they just feel so much at home, Lord, that it is home. And I pray, Lord, that we're now looking for another home.
Yes.
A home where we never have to say goodbye.
Amen.
We'll just say until. Until another million years, I'm going to go visit somebody else for a while, but I'll see you again. Father, what a wonderful time. We don't know that because we're in time. But Lord, we're heading toward an eternity. We've got an eternal word that was given, Lord, through the lips of a prophet, that was given to a fivefold ministry to speak to his bride, to get us all together and bind us closer together, not further apart, to bind us together, Lord, in you. Lord, we pray that you just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh, as Brother Bob was talking about this morning. Melchizedek was not your brother. Melchizedek was created flesh, out of existence flesh, but it's the same God. He was the Word. But now that Word then became flesh through a womb, like I was telling you last Sunday. Once he decided, God decided this was his plan, that he was going to come into the world through a womb, and he was going to be locked in that human body until he died. He couldn't move around like he could move. You say, oh, well, he can't. Well, no, he can't. He decided that he was going to be human. He decided that he was going to be locked in time on this earth for a period of 30 some odd years. He decided that. So, okay, I'm going to let him just have his way. That's the best thing for us to do, not mess up God's plan and wonder why he did that. Well, he did it for me and you. He did it so he could suffer like me and you suffer, so he could grow up like me and you grew up, so he could look around and see the world and the systems of the world and condemning the denominational world and different things while he was here, knowing that he would do the same thing inside of me and you. Amen. So that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and I'll read the rest of these. I'm going to background just a few minutes for the sake of the ones that hadn't been here in a little while. So, everybody, boy, Brother Michael, good-looking suit, man. Good job. Brother Michael, you know, again, he's teaching Sunday school downstairs for a little time, so we appreciate the youth of this church. He ain't young no more, but we appreciate the ones that are younger, that were way baby young, are now taking over some of the jobs. And even in the back there, we've got Levi and Abby and different ones that are in the very back there running the sound system. And then the Bonnet girls are running, helping with the sound system. And so we've got a young group of people, so us old people can kind of sit back and watch them. watch them grow up. Like Terrence said about the Reed kids, we were talking about it last night. We were wondering when was the first time they came, and Monique said she was four. And I can remember she was 4 years old. She had on a frilly white dress. It was the whitest, frilliest little dress, and it was just, I mean, it was no baby in it. It was all frilly dress. So we decided to go to Sonny's Barbecue. I don't know who did, but we went to Sonny's Barbecue, and here's this little kid that's now grown up sitting there, you know, right here. And that dress wasn't white when we left. Who thought of that? That's exactly right. Who thought of that? But they've all grown up, so same way with us. We've all grown up. Family. So now I pray that we start growing up in the statue of perfect man. We start growing up in God. And that's what we're going to talk about. A little bit background this morning, but this afternoon, I want you to really pay attention, because this afternoon we're going to talk about the virtues, not virtue. Everybody with me? Because these are the virtues. A virtuous person. But then there is the number one, which is to have virtue, or as Brother Brown said, strength. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we got to talk about what's going to happen when we become virtuous, when we become to a place. I love it when we were reading in the Bible about Ruth. Now, remember, in Ruth's time, there wasn't any internet. There wasn't Facebook. There wasn't TikTok. There wasn't, and I like what Sister Cleta said to Luis the other night. Said, I don't know what you're talking about, all these TikToks and Facebooks and FaceTime and what is it, Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, you know. Well, it's a form of getting yourself out there. Well, Ruth didn't have that when she was growing up. But the Bible says, thou art a virtuous woman. How did they know that? Because the power that was in her made it to where people could see that she wasn't running around. She wasn't doing things. I was looking at the word virtuous back here a few minutes ago where Brother Brandon was talking about. He said you can be virtuous in your body every day of your life and put on. That's why we dress the way we do. You look at the world. They don't dress virtuously. They dress to where every man can see every piece of flesh they have. And Brother Brown said, I don't care if you're the most virtuous woman in the world. If you put your body out there for men to see and they lust after you, you've committed adultery and will give an account on the day of judgment. Right. So then it does have something to do with the way you dress. Yes. Amen. It's what you portray. Ruth portrayed what? She was a virtuous woman. She didn't stay out all night. She didn't do this. She didn't do it. People could see her virtue coming forth from her, because they said, thou art a virtuous woman. And I don't think Boaz would have had anything to do with her if she wasn't a virtuous woman. Amen? And God's not going to have anything to do with us unless we're a virtuous woman, bride. We're talking about bride today, right? Amen? Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 says that every one of you should know. So we got to come to a place to where we know. How are we going to know? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Amen. We'll read it in a little bit. For the what? Perfecting of the saints. That's what it's for. It's not for you to just come and listen to a good dissertation or a good sermon today and you get all riled up or not. Or you fall asleep or not. Amen? It's to get us, as I was reading the quote and I was, when we were praying, Brother Brown says, I'm here to bring individuals, not an organization. Not organize Lula Church, but organize an organism. Take an organism. You are an organism. And put us on together to where we do work together as apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. For the what? Perfecting of all of us. I need perfecting by the fivefold ministry. But Brother Wade, you're part of the fivefold ministry. Yeah, but I got to be perfected by the fivefold ministry. We're not set apart somewhere. I'll promise you that. Never put somebody on a pedestal because Satan is there to knock them off. Amen? Let's put God up there. And that's the one we want to get to anyway. Yes. So that every one of you should know how to possess. You know, I don't know one thing about criminal justice. But Danielle went to school. And she knows about how to talk to criminals. I wouldn't have that much patience. But she knows how to do it. Why? She was schooled. She knows. You say, well, we don't need, Brother Brown said, we don't need education. He never said we didn't need that knowledge right there. He never said we didn't need to learn about God. Amen? It's kind of strange that, you know, when I was growing up, people pulled the kids out of church, out of school. Well, some of them church too. Pulled them out of school because Brother Brown says education is of the devil. When all of his kids graduated high school, one of them went to college, and I'm like, what's he teaching this? And then see, it's the ignorance of people. Yeah. Amen? It's the ignorance of people. Right. If you lean on your education, that is of the devil, your education. But if you lean on God's education, because a pastor, teacher, they teach you. They teach. It's what a teacher is, to teach you something. All right? So every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Not that I don't know how to possess Michael's. He don't know how to possess his own. All right? In what? Sanctification and honor. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. We're gonna hammer on this a little more. Even Luis was on it Wednesday night. That was a good job he did Wednesday night. We appreciate the fivefold ministry. Bringing different angles. But he read the same scripture. But be what? Transformed. By the renewing of what? Your mind. Look. You could put a period there and be done with it. But it's a comma that ye may prove. Ruth proved who she was. She proved she was a virtuous woman. They didn't have a commentary written about her. It was her person, her persona, her past. You say, well, I don't want the world to know about my past. Well, you better have a past with God. You better have a place where you put the nail down back here and then you walked. And people can see that walk is different than what it was before. Amen? What's wrong with you? I want somebody, well, let y'all say that about me anyway. What's wrong with you? But I want people to say, what's wrong with that guy? They tell me it worked. They start talking about all these theories and different things, you know, what Yellowstone and all. I don't know what it is, but they start talking about these. And they get into it, Bob, like they're it's like a soap opera. They get into it like, well, did you see, I wonder what's wrong with Mary. Wonder what's wrong with John. Did you see who got pregnant? They start telling me, they look at me and I'll go, don't know what you're talking about. They say, you're strange. I said, that's okay. I can be strange. Leave me alone. I don't want to care about it. I don't get wrapped up. I got a big enough soap opera in my own life. I don't need one on television. And the bride says, amen. But you see how Satan gets us wrapped up in all that and pulls us apart from God. So this has got to be a transforming by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good. Everything I'm reading is something you got to do, though. Remember, we talked about faith and works. You got to show your faith by your works.
Amen.
Amen. You can't just say, oh, I've got great faith, and then you don't show up for church. Here we go again. You tell me you got all this stuff and don't show up for church. No, it's a lie. The devil has given you a lie. But you got to say, well, that's why that for some people it's hard because they've been in that furrow for so long. The furrow that I was in is that Samuel Dale, on Sunday morning, there was not one thing going to stop him from going to church. And guess what? We went too. Okay? We tried to stay in the bed as long as we could. And me and Terrence was support back then. We had to sleep in the same bed. Of course, my sister didn't ever realize any of that. But we were laying in bed, and we'd say, oh, just a few more minutes. Daddy will forget about us. Yeah, right, he'll forget about you. Yeah, he comes in there, and he takes that big old hand, and he grabs the bottom of the sheets, and he crumples them up in his fist, and he throws them across the thing. Here you are, you know, it's cold as ice. So you had to get up. But that was what we came up under. We didn't come up under. You feel like going today? Well, no. Cat's got diarrhea again, so we can't go. Grief. It's kind of bad when you get sick and you stay sick on Sunday and then you go party on Monday, Tuesday, or go on vacation or something. You know, but just, better. Praise the Lord. Somebody pray for me Sunday. Just saying. That, look, but you're going to prove. We're going to prove who we are. We are going to prove who we are. Regardless of whether you say, well, I'm just going to hold it inside. I'm not going to say anything. No, you're going to one day, you're going to prove who you are. Amen? You're either, and so remember, I told you, Brother Brown said there's only two things that you're motivated by: what, faith or doubt? Either you got God in your soul today, or you got Satan in your soul today. That's just, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody wants the perfect will of God, right? Okay, well then let's get in the Word of God. 2 Peter 1 says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them they have obtained this light, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. I love those words. Unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There's the knowledge of God. According as his divine power hath given unto us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's building up to somebody. This is building up. Peter is building up to somebody. A person. All right, we know it's Jesus Christ, but he's then when we get the divine nature of Jesus Christ, that puts us in that furrow that I'm talking about. You get in that furrow and you stay in that furrow, and you listen to what God has to say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be what? Partakers of that divine nature. Partakers of faith, partakers of knowledge, partakers of virtue, of temperance, patience, godliness, partakers of that. It's not so far off that we can't do it. Amen? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Look, having escaped. That's the renewing of your mind. Your mind is all, it's bound up. It's in prison. Souls in prison now. What were they in prison? In their mind. But they have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's what we're beginning. That's the beginning or the foundation we've been talking about forever. Is you must know that you're justified. You must know that you're sanctified. And you must know that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Not just anointing. That you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And your desire. I read your quote last Sunday. Your desire is to be at church. It's not, I got to go. It's a desire. It's a want to. If the want to's not there, you don't have the person inside of you that wrote the Bible. So the first stage is the birth. You've got to make sure you're born again. That's why it's really wide down at the bottom. Faith, really wide, wide foundation. Because you're not going to get the virtue of Jesus Christ if you don't have the divine nature of Jesus Christ. All right? Because look, you are not your own source of these virtues. Think about that. You are not your own source. Well, I'm just going to, because Brother Brown says, even in Statue of Perfect Man, he says some of these have a portion of these virtues that are just out in the world. But not godly virtues. Not the fullness of godly virtues. And you can't, now by the new birth, though, you do have a source to get it from. But without the new birth, you don't have a source to get it from. There's just some people that are good. There's just some people that are bad. It's just the way it is. There's a lot of good people going to be in hell. Because they turned Jesus Christ down, even though they're good people. I just pray there's grace for them. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what? Seeing you have what? Purified your souls. I thought God did the purifying. That seems a little odd, doesn't it? How many times have I read that? Several times. Have you ever just read that and stopped for a minute? See, you have purified your souls. Unclean spirit goes out. You lock it down by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then your soul has got to be still. You got to be purified. Keep going. What? In obeying the truth. To get that thing locked in. To get where there's no hole where Satan can get. Listen, if there's a crack, the devil can find it. If there's a crack that you can't see, he'll find it. Get that thing sealed together and obey what? The truth. So you got to find the truth. Through the Spirit unto what? Unfeigned. In other words, nothing is going to keep you from being a Christian. Nothing. I read you, I'm going to read you in a few minutes, where Jesus said, you got to forsake father, mother, sister, brother. That's why the carnal mind, that's why we got to have a renewing of our mind. The carnal mind is against all that. That's why you look at when Jesus was on earth, everything he said was contrary to common practice. Think about it. He was just contrary to all that. That's why they hated him. That's why they couldn't understand him. That's why they called him all those names. But now Peter on the day of Pentecost, he didn't call him that. Why? Because that person was inside of him. That person was residing in him, and he knew then why Jesus acted odd. He knew then why Jesus said, hey, let the dead bury the dead. Come follow me. I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. Oh my, he was the Prince of Peace. But he said he came to bring a division, a sword, mother against father, sister against brother. That's what he said. It's the Bible. But by the renewing of our mind, we understand what that is. It does pull us away from the world. I'm not going to let my mother, father, sister, or brother keep me away from God. And listen, God's not going to let your mother, father, sister, brother keep you away from God. You're the only one that's going to let your children, your job, your mama, your daddy. Like I've said a million times before, your kids are watching you. The ones on this list right here, how many times has Brother Dale said that maybe it's because of you they're not here? Because they don't see God in you. That'll make us quiet. You start thinking, though, if I can just get my mind on God, purified from the things of the world, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. I'd rather be here than be anywhere in the world with my brothers and sisters. Amen. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, not just, I love you. No, fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So the only way for you to get born again is to have the word of God somewhere around you. You got to hear the word of God. You can't read, as Dad says, Greer's Almanac. You can't read Good News for Modern Men, Max Lucado, and all these different ones. Sure, they may have some good ideas. They may have some good ways. But I'd rather read the word of God and the prophet's message. Amen. Than all these other books. And listen, reading the books is not bad. I've got a lot of stuff from different people. Spurgeon, all the different ones, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, wonderful. But they didn't have a message behind their message. Everybody with me? The prophet of God had a message that was vindicated by God in the Bible. Dwight Moody had a message. He had a move of God. Brother Brown said he put millions of people in heaven. Christians. But not like the bride that we're talking about today. We're talking about somebody that's a little bit different. A little bit odd. Listen, when that the Armour Meatpacking story, the three sisters were common. They were just, oh, you know, we're going to dance and we're going to catch his eye. But what caught the man's eye? Not the frilly dress and the paint and the... What caught his eye is he walked outside and he saw a woman in her place washing. In that place, I mean inner place, in that place, washing stuff, Lily, hush, washed, and then what did he do? Now listen, he didn't have, well, I saw her on Facebook yesterday. I saw her, she's got a Twitter account, oh, look at that. No, he kept watching her, and kept watching her. She was different. She was different. She was odd to the other people that were there. But guess who he came after? He didn't come and get those other ones. He came and got that odd one. And man, 1 year later, he said, I'm coming back to get you because I see something, a character in you that's not in those other people. So how are we going to get there? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving that foundation, not tearing it up, building on top of it. All right? Build on top of that foundation. Leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ. Look, let us go on into perfection. That must mean that we're not so perfect when we first get started. Amen? Your soul by the new birth is. But that outside realm, memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. If that's not what bothers you, pray for me. That's what bothers me. My memory of things I did. The consciousness that I have of things I did. Am I so wrong from that? That's where our problem is. Your problem's not in your flesh. Oh, yeah, you're getting older. We're looking older. We're getting pain. Sister Francine, I said, how you doing? She said, I've got these pains that I've never had before. I said, you're older than you ever have been before. So that's just part of the sin curse of the fall. But inside of you, though, is a soul that's either born again or not, and then you've got an outer realm called the spirit, memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, that all that's spinning around in. Amen? And whatever you, whichever one, black dog, white dog, whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to win. Amen? That's why I said before, let it out. If you got a soul that's born again, let that thing start working on it, on the middle realm. If you don't, then you need to get born again, because you never will come to the knowledge of the truth unless you got the truth inside of you. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. As I was saying a couple of Sundays ago, we've had 20 people be baptized, and some were baptized over again. There's got to come a time where you got to quit getting wet. You got to put stake down. That's it. No more. I'm going forward. Amen. I'll baptize you as many times as you want to, but there's got to come a time where this right here has got to happen. We've got to leave that. In other words, build on it. When you have a foundation of a house, you don't leave it like get rid of it. You leave it where it's at. And then you build on top of it. And that's what all of us, all the years Brother Dale's preached, 40-something years, we ought to have a foundation that can't be shaken. It can't be stirred. It can't be moved. Because it's the right foundation. It was built on the right place at the right time. Listen, for the right group of people. Spitting all over the place. Of the doctrine of that. How'd that happen? Isn't that what it is, though? Can we not put our confidence on that? I can put my confidence on that. That we have a sure foundation, a firm foundation, one that cannot be moved. It should not ever be shaken. All it's going to be, all the winds of things are going to come upon us, doctrines or whatever you want to say, or people's ideas, or I think you're doing this wrong, or I think you're doing this right. Human beings, if it weren't for humans, we'd have a good church. Of the doctrine of baptism. Thank you, sister. But we got to have them. Amen. Amen. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And look, and this we will do, or will we do, if God permit. So God has permitted now in the end time. He has given us a place, an opportunity to go on with God. To not just say, I'm born again. No, I'm born again plus. Yes. I'm this rod that we're looking at here. I'm that rod. But that rod's got to have some buds on it. Yes. That rod's got to put forth some almonds, because that's the life that's inside of that stick. And that stick was dead. You and I all both were dead sticks. But God is what raised us up. The ark is the symbol of the Son of Man. I'll just kind of background a little bit. I'll get to my point in just a minute. And Brother Bram, thank God for a prophet. He knows how to say these things. Look, anyone who knows the scripture, now, probably not, Brother Donnie. There was people in, you know, he says, anyone who knows scripture, well, they probably 90% of the people in that church didn't know that he was fixing to say wood speaks of humanity and gold speaks of deity. But being cordial and being nice and being sweet, he's including everybody. Anyone knows the scripture says that gold speaks of deity and wood speaks of humanity. See, you shall cover it, overlay it with gold. That's what we were talking about. Part of that ark is wood. Amen. It's not pure gold. It's part wood. Right. It's got wood involved. In other words, it's got humanity involved in it. Yes, amen? But it's overlaid by gold. And when Christ hung on the cross, it was wood. But it was deity hanging on the cross, standing in judgment for me and you. Yes. Overlaid in gold, because listen, inside of that ark is the two tables of stone, which says, thou shalt not, and if you do, you die. Thou shalt not, and if you do, you die. But there was a man called Jesus Christ, the gold part, the deity part of it. Now, what are me and you? By the new birth, we are deity.
Yes, sir.
Unveiled in human flesh. And the Word What's made flesh? Well, the word's gone, Brother Wade. It's gone. He left with Brother Branham. No, you're the word made flesh, I thought. The law speaks of judgment, but between the law and the congregation, there was something for deity stood in its place, type of Christ. And then down here at the bottom, Brother Ram said, deity stands in the way between judgment. The judgment of God was met by deity, dedicated to death. Was what the three wise men brought Jesus when he was born. Brother Ram said, a type of deity dedicated to death, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then we talk about Aaron's rod again. Look, everything it was restored again. So what we're looking at, a dead stick. We're all dead sticks. Amen? But once put in the Shekinah glory, once in that third department, not the second one, not the first one, in that third compartment where nobody's back there but you and God, either something's going to die or it's going to come to life, one of the two. Amen? But you put it under the Shekinah glory, everything it was restored. What? That old dead stick that was dead, couldn't produce anything. You put it in the Shekinah glory, guess what? Leaves come out. Blooms come out. Almonds come out. And you know what's miraculous with that? It was shut up in a tent. And an almond, if y'all read about almonds, your almonds only bloom when it's been pollinated. And it's pollinated by bees. How did that thing get pollinated overnight and make almonds inside of a building? God. How did you get saved? God. Amen. The impossibility of you making it. You're born dead. A stick. That's the way a sinner is when he goes under the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit. The veil drops behind him. Everything he ought to have been, a son of God. What? Blooms out. That's what we're going to talk about. That's why my brother Luis was talking about this. It just struck my heart. That's an almond. That's just a dead stick. But it's got life now. It's going to start producing something. And you know what? When he brought that stick out, guess what? The whole congregation identified that stick was different.
Yes.
Because why? It showed what it was. It showed the fruit. It showed everything. Same way with me and you. A son of God blooms out in him again. Amen. Remember, overnight it budded, blossomed, growed almonds, fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. That's what we need to get in the third step, in the Shekinah glory, in other words, where that little sacred light was hanging over the mercy seat. You know, the night you got born again or the day you got born again, there was a halo of light. You just didn't see it. There was a halo of light, and it's not right here. It disappeared in here. Amen? You carry the Shekinah glory today if you're born again. You carry, as Brother Bob was talking about, that part of that Genesis 1:26. That's that Shekinah glory. That was a precursor. That was Genesis 1:26 coming down into this time element in a halo of light. And you were in that halo. You were part of that. That's why, and you may not understand this, but there's no way you can get a revelation without the one that wrote it inside of you. Not a true revelation. You can say, oh, that's good. That sounds really good. Yeah, but what's it doing to you? What's it doing for you? Is it changing your life? Is it making you better? Is it making you worse? But that Shekinah glory, that part of that Genesis 1:26, that's what he led those children of Israel through their journey above them. Right? But remember, that Shekinah glory went away when Jesus Christ stepped on earth. You say, no, it didn't. Well, you understand what I mean. It went in that man.
Absolutely.
That Genesis 1:26 man was in Jesus when he came on earth. Everybody with me? He was not just part of the Shekinah glory. He was the Shekinah glory. He was the Holy of Holies, walking in human flesh. Well, there, where were you? You were inside of him. That's why, folks, I'm telling you, when you get the new birth, that's one evidence, is that you agree. Not just agree. Well, yeah, that's good. No, you don't agree. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your life. It becomes a part of your before. It was pretty horrible, wasn't it? But now that vocabulary has changed, and now I love to hear the Word of God. I love to talk about the Word of God. You should love that. It should be something you say, hey, tell me about that. Don't tell me about that. Because when I was out in the world, I promise you, I wasted a lot of time reading stuff I should not have read. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life. Beautiful picture. Once enters in with Christ, dead to the things of the world, hid away with God, and the veil dropped down around and all the world shut off. That's the way it felt like last night. That's why I like to come here when there's nobody yet, no yakking going on, no talking. Total quiet. Except for a little background music. You come in, you pray. Like I said before, me and I was talking about Joe, telling Joe this morning. I saw him, well, I didn't tell him this, but you'll hear it now. But I walked out the door, this Brother John and Sister Alicia were the last two. Give them kudos. They were the last two that had ready to leave. So I stepped out and I looked at Brother Joe walking toward his van. And he turned, and he didn't see me, but he turned. And you could just see this happy glow. And like I said, like the cares of the world had just been stripped away for a little while. And listen, I know one thing's for sure. The devil was still there. Okay? But listen, there's a power. There's a dunamis inside of us that pushes that thing away. Listen, it is a powerful force that we don't use a lot of times. I mean, what were you doing last night? Between 7 and 8. Listen, voluntary, I don't count names. I don't keep up with stuff like that. That don't bother me. That's between you and God. But had you rather be doing that, or were you worrying about it, or were you working on a situation at your house? Come on, somebody. Were you worrying about a bill? Or were you worrying about your kids? Or are you worrying about yourself? Or are you worrying about how to get this? Now, 1 hour, folks. Just 1 hour. Just let God bathe you for 1 hour. 1 hour. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life who once enters in with Christ, dead to the things of the world. Hid away with God and the veils drop down around, all the world shut off. Then Christianity and religion becomes a what? Pleasure to every believer. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I'm in the right place, right? Okay, just wanted to make sure I hadn't shifted over somewhere. Today people just have enough religion to make them miserable. And that's correct. Just enough religion to make you miserable. Listen, you hang around this message all you want to. But if you're not born again, you're going to become the most miserable person in the world. Because you're going to have to hear me complain about you not coming to church. Today, people just have enough religion to make them miserable. Knowing that they ought to do this, they're trying to escape hell. I hope you didn't get up this morning and say, well, to escape hell, I think I'll go to church today. Now, let me go back here. Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure. Yes, amen. To every believer, a pleasure. Amen. You say, well, I got my pleasure in... Try God sometimes. Amen. Everybody with me? I wasn't going to do this morning, but I guess I will. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I love being around His people. I really do. God knows my heart. I love being around His people. But listen, before I was born again, I was ashamed to be around them. I didn't want to be around Brother Colley. I sure didn't want to be around Tom Fallbush. Because he'd be on your head every 5 seconds. I mean, you see how big Brother Tom was. He'd grab you by the shoulder and he'd say, boy, we ain't going without you. When you coming? I'm like, going where? Living in sin, you know? I'm like, going where? I knew what he was talking about. But you know what? I'll stick with you. We ain't going without you, son. Can you say that to these people right here? We ain't going without you? I'm not going without my kids. Nicole Roberts. Well, whatever she is now. Shepherd. I got some of these names a little bit wrong because some of them are married, but Asa. Where's Julie? Asa. Grace. Think about them all. Ashley, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's back there. But call names. I like what Brother Keith said when he was here. Remember he was here the last time we were downstairs in a Bible study. Talking about speaking the word for your kids. Listen, we can't save them. But we can get so much close to God till he'll honor what we said. Oh, I don't know. Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. She didn't know one thing about a seal. She didn't know one thing about a vow or Daniel 70 weeks. She just said, that ain't nothing but the truth, prophet of God. And the prophet said, whatever you want, you ask him for it. And she said, the salvation of my two sons. Well, the salvation of my children, Lord. I'm looking. The prophet's gone, but the word's still here.
Yes, sir.
God changed me so that my kids can be changed. Change me so that my husband and my wife can be changed. You say, I've already got the new birth. Change me some more. Brother Brown said, you can be so close to God till Satan won't know what to do with you. I am waiting and wanting that time. Aren't you not? Aren't you tired of that idiot sitting on your shoulder? Yeah, he's an idiot. But now that we come to the new birth, with faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, we've built a foundation. I hope I've said enough to where we are not going to, don't ask for the knowledge of God without asking for the new birth first.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Now, God can do a short, quick work, no doubt. But you've got to be quickened first. You've got to have the divine nature of God. Something what? To vulcanize. You got to have rubber to rubber. Amen? In other words, we got to have stone to stone. A rock to a rock. But here we're going to start with these virtues. Not this afternoon, but we're going to talk about these virtues, not virtue, these virtues. Which is what? It's what the Son of God portrayed, the Son of Man portrayed, the Son of God portrayed through the Son of Man when he was on earth. Everybody with me? I mixed my words there for a minute. The Son of God is what? Spirit God. That's the Holy Ghost that you have today. That was in Jesus, like Brother Bob was talking about. That wasn't that he got the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. Amen. He didn't have to get anything. But now he did have to grow in grace and knowledge. The Bible says that he grew in grace and knowledge. What? The humanity part of him. He was human, but he was God. But now listen, what's the difference now? I'm human, but I'm God. Made flesh in another form called the bride. Not Johnny Depp. But you see that analogy that he used? That's exactly what God is. He gives himself in different forms. Same guy. Look, same character, same characteristic of that person. I don't want an actor.
No.
He is that person. And where does that person reside? If he resides in you, he's going to make you be happy in Christianity and religion, just like I read you before. Happy. But we're heading toward that right there. We're heading toward the Son of Man, the revelation of the Son of Man, which is God in human flesh. But look, he's got to start here. I'm going to read you a quote in just a few minutes where Brother Branham talks about, while we're here tonight, where he says, build me up, Lord. Build me up so that I can bring these people, individuals, up this statue of perfect man. That's not a collective bringing up. That's an individual bringing up.
Absolutely.
Some needs more temperance. Some needs more patience. Some needs more this and that and the other. That's why he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors. What? For the perfecting of the saints. He gave us five different avenues. Pick one. It'll do you some good. I was thinking yesterday. You know, we've got like three different factions in the message now. They're all splitting off from each other. You've got the group that we don't need a five-fold ministry. We got Brother Branham to play tapes, you know, press play and all that group up there and wherever they're from, up north. Then you've got a group that says, well, we've had enough shouting. We need just the word. Then you got another group. Bob knows what I'm talking about. Then we got another group that says we ain't had enough shouting. We got to know this over here. And we don't want to be anything that's dead needs to be buried. Can we not just draw them all together? Can we not just draw them all together? Press play when you want to. Do never deny listening. Now listen, I say never deny and it condemns me because I don't listen to tapes. I can't. My mind wanders too much. I think about y'all. But no, my mind wanders. But if I'm reading, I can read. That's why I was so enamored by that, what Bob had on. We'll talk about that later. But I love to read my books. Dad knows. Everybody that knows me, you know that my books are just like his. They're all scribbled up. They're all marked. I love to read. So I press play, but it's in form of words, you know, on a page. Then I hope we do come to a place to where we learn a lot from God. And then I hope maybe somebody will stand up one day and start shouting and speaking in tongues. That would be the happiest thing I ever had in my life. And for somebody to do that and do it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, not under the inspiration of the devil. Because gifts and callings are without repentance. But you can't put the word together and not be born again. So let's just bring them all three together. And who's separating this? The hierarchy of the message? Yeah, they're the hierarchy of the message is separating over here. They're separating here. And they're separating over here. This group over here has only got, you know, there are five more preachers and no more. And they all preach all the camps and all the... Sorry. Then you got this group over here that, well, we ain't going to deal with them because they shout too much. We're just going to stay right here. And they've got their little circle of people. Draw the circle bigger. Love them all. But if you want to shout, please do. Let it out. If you want to learn from the Word of God, learn from the Word of God. But somewhere there's got to be a little bit of emotion. Look, this is not an emotion. That's a death. All right. So now we talked about the cross, bearing the cross, because the analogy was just wonderful when I was reading this about the Jesus not carrying the whole cross. He only carried the top beam because the real cross would weigh 400 pounds. It's just, you can't do that. Even that beam probably weighs 100. Or more, just the beam part that you're hanging on, the beam part. And that's why that the guy picked it up from Jesus and carried it for him. It was a big burly guy, big Brother Ram talk, Ethiopian, kind of a black guy, Cyrene. All right, so there's enemies of the cross, people are not even going to get to it. Then there's people that get to the cross. Listen, I want everybody to get to the cross. Brother Ram said, for you to go to hell, you got to crawl over the cross. So listen, let's don't forget Calvary. Let's don't make Brother Branham God. Let's don't make your pastor God. Let's don't make anybody God but God. And he's the one that died, so get to the cross. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget Calvary. That's the very basic of your Christianity. We didn't pray to William Branham last night. We prayed to God. He's the one that died for me. But I do believe he used that man to speak to me. So you know what? I accept that. I accept that he used a man to bring me God. Amen? Amen? And then, here's the difference. Carry your cross. People get to the cross. They get, as Brother Brown said, they get a real good case of sanctification. I'm sorry. God, forgive me of my sins. Clean that unclean thing out of me. And then some get the Holy Ghost, some don't. Some get the Holy Ghost, and it seems like they just don't want to do anything else. Because carrying the cross is tough. I was looking online this morning. There was a cruise ship and a battleship. This is not cruise ship Christianity. Everybody caters to everybody, and everybody's happy, and everybody gets along, and everybody's good. No, it's a battleship. All hands on deck. We got a mission to do. We got a devil to kill inside of me and you. Start with us. and then carry the cross. Listen, wars are won, used to be, not so much anymore, but wars are won by boots on the ground. Now, maybe not now because they got drones and they got this, but back when World War I, World War II, even Korea, even Vietnam was won by boots on the ground. It was won by the soldier going into the battle and fighting for what they believed in. Now, that's what me and you got to come to do. Amen? Carry your cross, but overlay it with deity. Your deity. The deity inside of you. But you still got to carry. The victim did not carry the whole cross, but only the cross beam. And there's your cross beam. Number one, faith. Carry it. Until you get it. Then you grab the beam of virtue, knowledge, temperance. Grab that beam and take off with it. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross, what? Every once in a while? No. Every day, because we're going to read it here in Luke. Philippians says, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping." Paul weeping. That they are enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, they're never going to get there. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Colossians 2 verse 14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Matthew 10 verse 37, "He that loveth father, mother more than me, is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Like I said before, they're watching you. It's okay to, you know, I love Hannah and Josh. Josh is back there now. I love Hannah. But that's not going to stop me from coming to church. Because you know what? The first time you stay out because they're standing in your living room, they're going to go, "Aha, mama, you ain't got what you think you got. Aha, daddy, you ain't got what you think you got." Don't tell me the devil don't work in your kids. Come on, somebody. "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." See, he went before.
Yes.
He was the stature of a perfect man. One man.
Yes.
But now he's calling us to be that same stature.
Yes,
so we're following after him, following with what? Not his cross. His cross done away with your sins. This is talking about a lived life.
Yes.
Amen. "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Luke 9 verse 23 says, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself."
Yes, sir.
"And take up his cross daily."
Amen.
Daily. "And follow me."
Yes, sir.
Listen, if y'all don't have any trouble on Monday or Tuesday, call me. I'd like to give you some one of my beans. I wouldn't do it for the world. You know I wouldn't do that. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, not in anything else. I die daily."
Amen.
Daily.
Amen.
Daily. Something's got to die. Now listen to this in Smyrna Church Age. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Let's read. We've read this in Romans 8, verse 17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God." This is Brother Branham talking in the Smyrna Church Age. "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we," what? "Suffer with him." Not going to vacation, not going to cruise ship. All right? "That we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in him." That's not what it says. "Which shall be revealed in us."
Amen.
Brother Brown, now that's the end of that scripture. Listen, Brother Brown says, "Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him." You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign. What is reign? That means you rule over something. You rule over your self-will. You rule over your earthly knowledge, your earthly temperance. That's why I'm talking about renewing your mind. Your mind says, I can get mad at somebody because they're mad at me.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
I cannot give this person something because they're not giving me nothing. Hello, somebody. I don't have to be kind to this brother because he don't like me. Or he don't agree with me. He said something, so I don't have... That's the way your natural mind is thinking. But renewing of your mind, Brother Brown said, put yourself in his place.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher one time, it's true. You see somebody's having a bad day. Do we want to just stomp them and hang them? Maybe they're going through a trial. That's why I'm going to say it. All right, everybody with me? Wake up for a minute. Listen to this. This is going to be a moment of teaching. Everybody with me? When you go to a restaurant, Bride of Jesus Christ. Donnie, don't look down. Listen to me. Bride of Jesus Christ, you go to a restaurant and eat, that woman or man is waiting on you. That's their job. Amen? Whether they do a good job or a bad job, they may be having a bad day. Maybe you ought to slip them an extra $5 bill. I've seen some, I'm not seeing y'all, but I've seen people, message people go to a restaurant and get up a whole table full of people and walk out and never put a dime down for a tip. That's horrible. That's pitiful. Somebody ain't got some of this right here. I tip 20%, whatever it is. If you can give God 10, give her 20. Because she's doing, or he is doing, you a service, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. Because remember, don't tip because of them doing a good job. You tip because they're a human being, and they may be going through a rough time. And you know what? You may be going through a rough time. You know what God's going to go? He's going to go, you remember that? This is going to be a teaching. This is going to be a teaching moment for you. I'm not going to give you 20%. I'm going to give you none. You're going to get up from that table empty. You say, oh, no, wait, he's not like that. Yes, he is. He's a daddy. He's corrective. He lets you go through things because he wants you to build character. Character's a victory. Listen, thank God. Boy, where you at? Thank God. He don't turn desk over anymore. We've said this before. He don't care. He don't mind. He's not going to get mad. Might have before. Might have a long time ago. But he used to tell about that. He had such a temper. Flip a desk over. You know what the only problem with that is? Somebody was doing something with a cell phone one time in his family. Jeffrey, I don't know if it was... Well, Amy's laughing, so she knows. So Boyd gets mad at the whole family, takes the cell phone out in the parking lot, and beats it up with a shovel. Now listen, y'all are going, I've never done that. It's never happened to me. Bless Brother Boyd. Bless his heart. No, it's happened to every one of us. If you didn't do it, you sure wanted to. Amen? Alright, so... But he's got a victory over that. He don't do that anymore. As far as I know, common more meat than he's ever been. Right? That's a victory. That's a change of character. That what? His mind is still sure battling. Oh, if you just kick that wall. You know what? If you beat a cell phone up, you just got to go buy another one. You just wasted $800 on a good one. Right? So you look down, you go, why'd I do that? You punch a wall and you put a hole in it, guess what? You got to have to either pay to have it fixed or fix it yourself. Right? Amen? So, renewing of our mind. Now we got to get over here and do like Brother Brown said. You know, count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or do whatever, you know. But get the character of Jesus Christ and that really will help you. Everybody all right with that? Amen? We've all come through. Listen, we live together. We know about each other. Don't we, boy? I'm brother. We know about each other, and we can say that. But listen, it's something we've all been through. I just know he's been through it because I've experienced it with him. But some of you, well, you little hiding little sinners, you. I don't know why. I cannot believe Boyd did that. If I knew all your stories, I'd be going, I don't know why in the world they did that either. But character's a victory.
Amen.
There's victory in that. You know where that victory is? That is power. That's power over that thing. Because you know what? It had power over you. That's what we're trying to get rid of. Because look, power apart from character, it's satanic. Make you put a hole to the wall. Make you throw your cell phone out the window.
Right?
But power with character is fit to rule. That's what we want. We know that God's ruling over us, but you know what? We're supposed to rule and reign over the earth. How are we going to do it being babies? We can't. We got to have what? A raising up. We've got to come up a little bit higher. And that's what I appreciate, all of us. Look, and since he wants us to share even his throne, we'll stop right here. And since he wants us to share even his throne, this is Jesus Christ. This is the one that has a throne, a dominion. He owns the world. He wants you to sit with him. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame, and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed, what, in us? When he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing. Who are willing? Who are willing to pick up the cross? Oh, Lord, I love the cross. Thank you for dying for me. I really don't want to go through that. You don't have to, son. You just pick up your cross and follow me. Amen? We don't have to get hung on a cross. We just have to pick up a cross and follow him. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Let me read this right here. Everybody's very familiar with this. I'll read this. Musicians, come on. Let's stand. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Now, who is that? That's character. That's that man right there. That's what struck me. We've read that quote many, many times. But now it brings home, it's the part of the statue of perfect man.
Amen.
We're feeding on that body word. That was his body. That was his character. He presented his character through that body. So you and I are going to do the same thing. Gifts of God without virtues is a stumble block to the unbeliever. It's not accepted by God. This has to be first. This has to be first. You got to get born again. Then we're going to go up the statue of perfect man. We'll talk about the virtues in a package this afternoon. So God bless you. Let's sing a song. Worship for a few minutes.
I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through.
To be.